Well, it's fantastic to be here in Alan and Donna's garden, and we are starting our summer series, which is Under Pressure, and we're talking to people about just situations where, yeah, they've faced some pressures in life and how they got through that, how God has helped them through that. And so yeah, that's the general kind of run of it. So great, thank you for volunteering. This is pressure enough. just doing this. But first of all, I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are we? Who are you? Come on, Al, you can fill us in on that.
Okay, I'm Alan Littleton, and I'm married to Donna, and we've been living here for 20 years.
Wow.
In Nelsey. We originally come from the Midlands, and yeah, we love it here.
Have we got any children?
We have 5 children. No.
Yeah. Do we? Yeah.
this is news to Donna.
We have 3 children and 5 grandchildren.
Ah, yes.
So I got it the wrong way around.
That's impressive. Yeah. 5 grandchildren. And so the new Christmas kayak is coming in quite handy on the Marine Lake.
Yes, we've only had one trip out with it at the moment, so due to lockdown and everything else, so it's, we've had to wait to launch it.
We've had plenty of FaceTimes with Grandad. Can we go out on the kayak? Can we do it today? Yeah. So we must step up on that.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. And, you know, we're not kind of talking about lockdown particularly, but how have you been, you know?
Lockdown for us hasn't really changed because it's like a normal everyday kind of routines that we're doing, because we haven't had to go to work because I'm Donna's full-time carer, so we stay at home anyway, lockdown hasn't really changed that much.
Yeah.
Other than going to the coffee shops or something like that for a bit of social in with other people, really.
Fair enough. Good. So yes, under pressure. What would you say as a time or a situation where you found yourself kind of just feeling some pressure, and how have you,
just fill us in. One of the major things for us obviously was our situation. We were suddenly running around full of life, doing lots of different things, our working full time, and then I became ill. Obviously that meant Alan had to give up work to help look after me, and things dramatically changed for our household financially. We became living life on benefits and struggling through, and we would both definitely say we were very materialistic before this period. So for us it was a massive, like, what are we going to do? And we went, I would say, through sitting in church several years or more with the same, like, what are we going to do? We, you know, it was a daily waking up. How are we going to survive? What are we going to... Alan can no longer go out and earn extra money if we need it, and so forth. So with the pressure of me being ill, I also was continually thinking about the situation we were in. And then God just spoke one morning, and it was like, you know, you need to start thanking me for the small stuff. And then we both sat there and we're like, you know what, we might not have a penny to our name right now, but we've got a roof over our head. So as the days went by, we made a conscious decision to just think about the things that he has provided. So we went times in church, didn't we, where we just put pennies in the basket because that's all we had to give. And then we'd sit there like, yeah, I know it says here, give us back you know, whatever fold we put in, so we're not really going to get a lot back anyway. And it was that mindset, yeah, like, should we really be giving our last bit? What are we going to say? And you go through all those emotions, but also you feel good actually giving just a little bit, yeah, because your heart is to give. Our yeah. heart is to give. And we very much both come from the background, you don't ask for anything. You get through, you pull your socks up and just do, don't you? That's just where we've come from. But we started to recognise the more we were asking God for finances, we were more frustrated we was getting, because we were like, he's not giving us anything. What's going on? You know, come on, it does say quite clearly in the Bible, you will give.
Yeah, yeah.
And give us our heart's desires and stuff. And we were looking in the wrong places, basically, because, you know, we were looking for our way instead of his way. And then we suddenly realised that actually, you know what, we got through that week. We only had £5 at the start of the week, but we've had like 3 roast dinners in this week. We've had this, that and the other, meat costs and all this. But he gave us ways of, you know, finding things cheaper or being given things and stuff like that. So we found as we went along that actually he is actually providing all our needs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That perspective is it doesn't feel like it's a big thing, but it's quite a big thing to move from, you know, why hasn't God done this, to God has done done these things, you know. Yeah. And have you found that, Al, you know, as you say, you're Donna's carer, but and you've always worked in, you know, different varying jobs, but suddenly to not be able to do that,
it was quite hard to take that change of life and focus more on looking after Donna than going out to work. It was a totally different outcome, because one, the money wasn't there. We struggled financially, and one day coming to 7 days doing exactly the same thing. Yeah. So it's like, so we wasn't apart, so it was like we had nothing to talk about, because we was people constantly know, together.
People know what that feels like through lockdown.
Yeah,
so
we had to overcome that as well. So we kind of slowed our going out and doing things, and probably going out and having a coffee on a weekend. It's like to do something different rather than doing it every day, and it was becoming a more of an habit than things like that. Yeah. So
it's easy for people. I know you mentioned church, and sometimes, you know, church is great, but other times you go and it looks as though everyone else has got something together. But equally, you know, they might, other people look at you and think, oh, there's Don and Alan riding in their Mercedes van. They must have everything together, because, you know, you only see that teeny little section of their life, you know.
Yeah. And it is that we've sat there week after week sometimes thinking, you know, what are we going to do for this next week? And also, like Alan saying, learning to live with each other, because he was at work a lot. So I kind of ran the household, ran the boys, did all that.
Yeah.
So having those dynamics change was, it was massive for us, really, wasn't it? And to have that sudden, like, you know, we started reading the word, and Matthew, I always have to look, Matthew 6, through, you know, 25 onwards, really spoke to us both, really. And it kept us, well, if he can do all those things, then he can do it for us.
Yeah, because that passage says, talks about the birds. We can hear the birds in the background, which is quite appropriate. But, you know, it says that God will take care of the birds, and you know, think about it today and not the future. Yeah. You were saying God had asked you to do something at church that seemed a bit stupid at the time, but it seemed to make it.
Yeah, it's like, as in, through worship, it was go and put a penny on the floor. Well, why am I going to do this? Just go and put a penny on the floor. So I was obedient and putting a penny on the floor. And I thought, oh, I've done that. I haven't got nothing. This is like, it was, okay, I've done that. Right, carry on. And then the next day we had a nice little letter come through the post with a rebate. And it was like, he blessed me through being obedient by putting a penny on the floor. And it was just like, it just blew us away really, didn't it? Like,
And we, our pinnacle moment, we would both say to round this up a bit, was obviously we'd had our big wedding anniversary and heart's desire was to go to the Caribbean. And like, how is that even possible? How can somebody live in the life we were living? How could we even dare to dream, kind of thing? And you know, bit by bit, every little penny that we, it was pence sometimes, we'd go and pay it on and lots of prayer. And then suddenly we went into the travel agents to make a payment, which we thought we were only like halfway through. And she said, do you realize like it's a year until you go and you've paid off your full amount? And we were like, this can't be right. And it was right. Wow. So we had a year like clear of what, you know, what we needed to have. So we were blessed. And we still managed to live and do, you know, do what we needed to do in the house and stuff. And then for both of us, the day we went to the cruise ship and we stood there and we saw this massive ship and we it was just like, how can people like us even dare to dream a dream like this? Yeah. And yet here we are just like facing this and going to do what we've always wanted to do, basically. So, and how good God is in that, giving us our heart's desire.
Yeah. No, it's good. There is that feeling that, you know, when you get that, when you're convinced that he wants to do you good and you're not railing against him saying, why haven't you done this? You know, it changes. Yeah. It leads you to think, I wonder how he's going to do it today. Yeah. I wonder how he's going to do it this week. You know, I wonder how he's going to get us through this situation. Yeah. And it's just, it's a slightly subtle thing, but it's very big.
Yeah. It also comes the other way where you get lazy and praying and asking for his guidance. Yeah. We kind of think, oh, we can do it on our own again now. And then that's when trouble starts coming in and we start falling behind and you think, oh, we better start praying again. Asking for help, and you kind of take things for granted, and you don't realize that you're doing that because you live in your life kind of thing, and you think you put God over there again, and it's no, God's got to be with you constantly before he will do anything, and you've got to be obedient, else he won't give you nothing. And so if you it's the way of the world of everybody's trying to find their own way, but it's God's way in the beginning. So you've got to give it to God.
Absolutely. And I think maybe that's kind of some of the lessons that people are learning when all of these things have been taken out of their control. Oh, I can't go to work. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't make it happen. And it's leaving people feeling completely powerless or out of their own control. But you know, the lessons that you're talking about are really, really relevant for this time. So
and the most important thing is God and family and friends. Yeah. It's just like, without all that, you've got nothing, ain't you? Yeah. Really, you're
Brilliant. No, thank you for that. That is excellent. I really appreciate that. And actually, it's a good, it's a brilliant reminder for everyone, and a great story. But you got another cruise as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
But that was a kind of bonus because it was supposed to be next year when you wouldn't have been able to do it. And if you hadn't done it at the beginning of this year, it wouldn't have happened. So at the time I thought to myself, so they probably needed a bigger gap between those two things, and then suddenly, but God knows what he's doing.
And it turned out even better than the first time. So when you think you can't better, actually it was so much better.
Yeah.
And we were missing COVID like. Every island we're out on the ship following us couldn't get
off.
Right.
So you came back and you didn't even know COVID was happening, and we're all worried about you on a cruise ship. So anyway, that's a whole nother story. So Oh yeah, the New Orleans. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yes. It's like getting into America was amazing for me because I had a past before I become a Christian, and a record with the police, and so to get step foot into America was, I was blown away really, because all my life it was thinking my past won't let me go to America, and yet God took that away and he allowed me to get into America.
Just, that's amazing. That's cool. Brilliant. Okay, I'm going to let Tanya jump in and do your bit.
I'm wondering whether or not there is a word or a picture or a piece of music, a painting, something that has helped you just through this, particularly the lockdown time, that has kind of something that you've gone over and over again to that has just helped you through. My thing is colour. I've needed colour. So I have embraced a lot, becoming a lot more colourful. So that's helped me every day. I've put something colourful on and or had something colourful with me. So, Donna.
Mine, one word is contentment. Totally different from yours, because normally I wouldn't be seen with a hair out of place. Or I actually, for the first time I would say in my life, felt content. So I could get up with messy hair and sit with messy hair, or, you know, just, I was just content to be, just be, to be me.
Cool, okay. Because that is a big thing, because I know Donna quite well, so I know there are times where, you know, being out in public without everything in place was quite tricky. But yeah, brilliant. That's really good. That's a really, and contentment means then that just takes you to that place of peace all the time, doesn't it? Yeah, that you think.
I just felt free and content.
I love me. He loves me. What else is there? You know, kind of thing. Brilliant. Alan, what about you?
Music's for me.
Okay.
I get my harmonica out and have a lovely hour of socialising with myself.
With yourself. Harmonica. And are you following anybody with your harmonica? Are you a bit of a Bob Dylan fan when it comes to harmonica, or are you kind of, you know?
It's like when you wake up in the morning and you get a song in your head, I quickly go online to see what the song is and can I play it into an harmonica.
Okay, so what's the last one that you, or the, you know, one of your most, you thought that was great, you know, me and the harmonica and this song was just a really great combination?
I don't know.
That's fine.
I like playing the Last of the Summer Wine. It's right. It's such a nice song to play on the harmonica, and it's really good.
Actually, also because I know Alan quite well, when Campbell was down, our son was down recently, we had a bit of a conversation about you and your spoons. We had a really good laugh about the spoon playing, and in church you could hear this. we want the spoons back. We decided we want the spoons back. Well, that's brilliant, you know, and they are things, both of those things that can take you forward into, you know, post-lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, brilliant.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing some recordings. And I'm loving the t-shirt.
Thank you.